You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty. Here in Michigan, taxes have been cut for businesses. Lawmakers have cut money going to municipalities, and they're in relentless pursuit of ways to reduce the income tax, even if, in the end, it amounts to very little relief for the average taxpayer. A new report indicates all these efforts have done nothing to help struggling families earn better wages. The group Michigan Future has some suggestions. Lou Glazer is president of Michigan Future, and he spoke with Stateside's Lester Graham.
Let's start with some basics. The governor and other politicians point to low unemployment. That is the way we determine economic progress in Michigan. Your report indicates that's the wrong measurement. What is the best way to assess whether Michigan's economy is working?
Well, I think the broadest measure is per capita income. It's really it is this notion. Ultimately, as we say in the report, you know, Ronald Reagan famously said a job is the best social program. We say in the report a good paying job is the best social program. And the reality is that we now have what people are calling this great decoupling, which is where the headline numbers on the economy actually look fine and lots of families are not doing well. So
wages are stagnant.
Wages are falling.
Falling.
More and more work is contingent, so people are working part-time. So if you look at the ALICE report, which is this acronym that the Michigan Association in United Ways came up with to talk about families that are not able to pay basic necessities, Michigan's unemployment rate at a 15-year low. The auto industry selling as many cars as it ever has. 40% of Michigan households can't pay basic necessities. 40% is a huge number. This has never happened before. And if you look at Robert Putnam's Our Kids book, which is sort of the best description of what's going on in American households, he basically is arguing that 25% of American households are doing well, almost all college educated, 75% are not. So whether you're using 40 or 75%, there is a lesson that we need to learn, which is the economy can be doing fine and lots of folks not doing fine.
Well, the economy's changed a lot. I mean, since workers with high school diplomas could secure a good living in the auto industry, the report says globalization and technology such as automation are, quote, mega forces that are transforming the economy. Your report indicates Michigan needs to align rather than resist these new realities. What do you mean by that?
Right. So I think, you know, we've been trying to get people to understand that. So, you know, I've been working in this area. Michigan Future is 25 years old, the think tank that I run. But before that, I worked in state government for a while. So 35 years or so, I've been working on sort of the Michigan economy. And for that entire period of time, politicians of both parties have campaigned on they can make a high-paid, factory-driven economy work again. That economy is gone. We cannot – success is not about turning the clock back. Success is about figuring out how you have a high-prosperity economy in the context of the world in which we live now. And that world is increasingly being defined by automation, by smarter and smarter machines, which are increasingly doing work that humans used to do. And unless we're aligned with that, unless we are figuring out ways in which to help people get good-paying jobs that are available today, not that were available 20 or 50 years ago, we're going to continue to be poor.
The report says you want the state's economic policies to have a single goal. Raising
right.
household income for Michigan
yes.
residents. A graphic in the report shows nearly every county in Michigan shows a decline between 11% and 32% in real median household income from 1999 to 2014. What can state government do to reverse that trend?
Yeah. So that map, which comes from the Harvard Business School, is sort of like a picture is worth a thousand words. It is astonishing. That map shows not just that every county in Michigan has had this substantial decrease in household income over the last 15 years. But if you look at the map, Michigan stands out compared to the rest of the country. We, compared to the country, have had a horrible 15 years. So this is structural. It is not cyclical. You cannot blame this on single state recession or the auto industry not doing
well. Lost decade.
All the rest of this stuff turns out not to be an accurate assessment. So the most startling statistic in this report is in 2000, the last time the auto industry was selling 17 million units a year, employment earnings, which is wages and benefits per capita for Michiganders, was basically 1% below the national average. In 2015, it's 16% below. So unless and work is how people pay the bills. You cannot be 16% below the national average and have a high prosperity Michigan. So the levers that are available to state government, the first and most important is increased education attainment. All of the data off the chart is people earn more and work more, higher education. It is not an accident that Michigan is 32nd in per capita income and 32nd in college attainment. Increasingly, they go together. So increased education attainment is by far the most important lever. And that actually is something that states do control more than the feds, from early childhood through college. And the argument we make in the report is really threefold. First is that we've got an education system at the moment that is basically designed for the 75% for non-affluent kids to prepare them for 20th century jobs, not 21st century careers. So you've got to change sort of how schools are designed. Secondly, we've got a way too laissez-faire system of accountability where it's almost okay for the system not to work. And the reality is early childhood, K-12 education, higher education, and even more so adult training have horrible results for everybody except affluent kids and adults, and we got to change that. And third, this is back to your tax point. We've decided tax cuts are more important than funding education. It's stupid. It's exactly the wrong decision.
You're talking about higher education and how, you know,
right,
they do better. But we all have different potentials. I mean, not everyone's going to participate in the high-wage, knowledge-based economy.
Yep.
What should government policy be regarding to make sure that they're not, those people are not, economically speaking, left behind?
Exactly. You know, this is something that sort of surprised us as we got into this. The United Way report makes this pretty clear. About half the jobs in Michigan don't pay enough to raise a family kind of thing. So and that's structural. It's not changing. So we basically argue in the report that shared prosperity is one of these levers that state government is going to have to use, which means a better training system to help get people into the workforce and those who are working part-time to full-time. But it also means that you've got to augment wages and benefits either through, you know, government programs like the Earned Income Tax Credit or health insurance for everybody or employer mandates like raising the minimum wage. If you don't do that, you're not changing this 40% number.
Yeah, the EITC, the Earned Income Tax Credit, was cut, what, 2 years ago, three years ago, and hasn't been restored at all, which was one of the real benefits to a working person. Came to us from Gerald Ford. I mean, it was
Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan. Okay,
it was Reagan called it the best poverty program ever, and he was right.
The Michigan Future Report also talks about creating places where people want to live and work.
Right.
How is state government approaching that now?
A little bit better than it has historically. So basically, why this matters is talent's mobile. So, you know, we know it here in Ann Arbor. You finish at the University of Michigan and go any place on the planet. They take the Michigan economy with them when they go someplace else. And Michigan, even with a strong economy, is still a net exporter of talent. And so what we argue is that creating places where people want to live and work, which to us means places that have quality infrastructure, basic services and amenities, particularly central cities because that's where young professionals want to live, is an essential ingredient to an economic development strategy for three reasons. The first reason is companies increasingly are moving to where talent is rather than talent moving to where the jobs are. And you see that across the country. Second, talent, particularly young professionals, are the folks that are starting new businesses that create high-wage jobs. So it's the core of economic development. Third, they're the new middle class that spends money in the community buying homes, buying cars, shopping at the stores, going to restaurants. So what we say in the report is that Metro Detroit and Metro Grand Rapids, but particularly those two cities, have got to be competitive with the big talent magnets around the country like Chicago, New York, San Francisco, Seattle, you name it. And at the moment, they aren't. Making progress, but not competitive.
As we mentioned earlier, there's resistance to raising taxes. The steady drumbeat in Lansing is to cut taxes as a way to economic well-being. So how can the state pay for these recommendations you're talking about, and is there the political will to do that?
Well, the way you pay for it is higher taxes, and there's not the political will to do it at the moment. Part of what the report is doing is basically trying to provide all the data possible that basically says two things. One, Michigan has been cutting taxes. There's a great Citizen Research Council report on this for 30 years, and for the last 20 of those 30 years, we've gotten consistently poorer. Our per capita income is going down, not up. So it hasn't worked. But secondly, when you look at all the – so of the 15 states that have the highest per capita income, three are oil and gas dependent.
What states are they then?
The three states, top 15 states in per capita income, three are oil and gas dependent, North Dakota, Wyoming, and Alaska. Of the other 12, all 12 are in the top 15 in the proportion of adults with four-year degrees. Almost none of them are low-tax states. So if you look at the path to prosperity, the path to a large middle class, it is increased education attainment, not low taxes. The highest, by far, the best economic outcomes in the Great Lakes and actually in cold weather states is Minnesota. They're the highest tax state in the Great Lakes.
The report's out. There are some heavy hitters on your board.
Yep.
What kind of response are you expecting from Lansing?
You know, it's interesting. Our assumption is – so Michigan Future has been around for 25 years. This is the first time that we've done a policy report. And the reason we did a policy report was is that we had assumed over the years that our ideas and information would be powerful enough that people would run with it, and it sort of isn't happening. So I think our assumption has been all along is that we want to use the report to try to get candidates in 2018. So we're really looking out, not now, out to actually run on this and have a debate about this, which is the debate we need in this state is twofold, which you're not having now. The first is, how do you raise household income for all Michiganders? No one's talking about that. And second is, how do you do that in the context of a world in which jobs are changing so dramatically. If we can get both parties to have some candidates running on these ideas, that will be victory for us.
Lou Glaser is the president of Michigan Future. The report we've been talking about is called A Path to Good-Paying Careers for All Michiganders, a 21st Century State Policy Agenda. Thanks for explaining the proposal.
Yep, MichiganFuture.org.